Without Love, Where Would We Be? By Andrea Lynn, read by Kath. A Roswell, New Mexico story featuring Michael Guerin, Alex Maines. Summary. Alex is noticing the ease in which Michael is fitting into the nooks and crannies of his life. It's the start of their new future, and he's ready to make it permanent by asking Michael to move in with him. Only Michael's reaction isn't exactly what he'd expected.
There is a house built out of stone, wooden floors, walls, and windowsills.
In the kitchen, there are bottles of acetone comfortably in between paprika and pepper, much to Alex's disdain. He finds them when he's going to season the tacos he's making for dinner, pulling the half-empty one out with a disbelieving look shot over his shoulder. What? Michael protests. You know I spiked my drinks and my food with it. Why is it between paprika and pepper? He huffs, and adds a few drops to Michael's green sauce before shelving it properly, besides the anise. He sets the plate down on the table, not sure why Michael's looking at him like that. What? It's Alex's turn to ask. Nothing, Michael replies fondly. It's just you, not freaking out about adding chemicals to your boyfriend's green sauce. You're freaking out because you have an objection to it not being alphabetized, he drawls. Alex glares. There's an order to this kitchen, Guerin. I'm sure it's a very important order. Spices are alphabetized. If you're going to keep your acetone with them, it goes with the other A's. Mm-hmm. Because what happens when I need a little extra acetone, if I want to take my nail polish off and... He's cut off when Michael wraps his arms around Alex from behind, pulling him back against the counter while brushing his lips over the warmth of the nape of his neck. Huffing, he tips his head lower, loose unstyled hair falling over his forehead. Guerin, he exhales, not sure he wants this to stop, but feeling like he should at least protest mildly. What? Michael mumbles, kissing down his neck. I'm just alphabetizing us. Alex, Michael, spice rack. You think you're so smart, don't you? Certified alien genius, Michael preens, and keeps working his way up Alex's neck. Breakfast, Alex reminds him, and reaches for the properly dressed plates, lifting them both up above his head as if that'll get attention. Shrugging his shoulders up, like that has the benefit of getting Michael's mouth off him. Though, did he say benefit? It's not feeling like a benefit. Rain check, Michael insists, and takes the acetone-laden plate from Alex, pressing a kiss to his cheek. That night, Alex cashes in on his rain check with great pleasure. The next day, the acetone is sitting neatly at the very front, with allspice and anise following it. It's got a neat little label on the vial from Alex's label maker. It's small touches like this that make Alex feel like this time is going to be different than all the ones before. It's the promise of a life of compromise, with plenty of excitement still to go around.
Wooden floors, walls, and windowsills. Tables and chairs warm.
In the bathroom, the shelf is beginning to tremble under the weight of its bottles. Guerin, this thing is going to snap, Alex calls back to his boyfriend, who's lounging naked in bed. He'd so graciously and generously given Alex first shower, which had been a lazy excuse so he didn't have to get out of bed. The joke's on him, because now Alex is in control of prying the bottles off the bathroom vanity shelf, counting 4 heavy bottles in total that he doesn't recognize as his own. When did Guerin bring these over? Do you really need all of these? See, I thought I didn't, Michael mumbles, face buried in a pillow. I used to buy these 10-in-1 things that were soap and shampoo and all that. But when I was dating Maria, she found out and kind of freaked out. There was a whole tag team thing with Isabel, and now Isabel supplements my hair care routine with fancy shit that I can't afford. Why does she care so much? Michael lifts his head and gives his best Isabel Evans brow lift. Reputation, Michael, he mimics. I can't have people thinking that I hang around with someone who doesn't take care of himself. Now that Alex thinks about it, there has been a difference when he pushes his hands into Michael's hair. It's softer now, the curls glossy and shiny. I like it, he admits, as he crosses the distance between them, subdued and quiet, like someone might overhear him being selfish. He watches as one of the curls slips over his thumb. He watches as Michael closes his eyes as he exhales one of his little catch breaths, the kind that means Alex has to kiss him. It's not up to him. He doesn't make these rules. I guess I have to keep it going, huh? Michael mumbles and kisses Alex once more for good measure. Go on, get into the shower. I'm going to be a layabout until Sanders bitches at me for being late. You've got important Eduardo time booked. I've seen your calendar. He does, and the mere fact that Michael knows that sends a thrill through Alex. It's one more reminder of how different things are this time. So he goes about his routine, and he puts the hair product out of mind, until one morning he wakes up, and instead of having to juggle bottles of product so they don't make the shelf collapse, there's a floating shelf reinforced with heavy screws displaying all their bottles. Sleepily blinking at it, he doesn't notice Michael until he's wrapping his arm around Alex's waist from behind. When? You were in your secret clubhouse with Kyle. My jealousy consumed me, he deadpans, so I decided to take it out on some furniture. He knows Michael hadn't really been jealous, but he still falters for what he's meant to say. This is... He appreciates it more than he can put into words. Alex pointed out a problem, and Michael took it upon himself to find a solution and just did it, for the betterment of their living situation. Suddenly overwhelmed with emotion, he abandons his crutch, choosing to grip Michael's wrist instead as he pivots, grabbing him by the neck for a fierce kiss. Carpentry turns you on, huh? Michael mumbles against the kiss. Me too. Next time we fuck, I'll find some sawdust to get us really going. You're an idiot, Alex lies, grinning wildly as he holds on to his boyfriend. This is good. This is the kind of thing that proves that they really can have a steady future together. If Michael is willing to reinforce a shelf for their hair products, then Alex knows it means he's all in when it comes to shoring up their relationship. Michael kisses him again, handing him the crutch so he's not hopping around. Maybe, but at least I'm your idiot.
Tables and chairs worn by all of the dust. This is a place where I don't feel alone.
In the bedroom, Alex has had to install a fan. Thanks to years of being at war, both overseas and within his own house, he prefers to sleep with the door closed. Lately, he's been waking up in the middle of the night sweating, which isn't a surprise given that he has company most nights. Said company is an alien whose body temperature runs hotter than most people, and if Alex has to choose between giving up his blanket and installing a fan, or kicking Michael out, he knows which one he's doing. It still doesn't help when Michael does his limpet thing and winds up wrapped around Alex's body in the middle of the night. Tonight, he wakes up with his neck sticky with sweat. The fan is off, which happens from time to time when Michael, in a sleepy state, ends up turning it off with his telekinesis because it's hitting him. Michael, he complains, feeling instantly guilty for what he's about to do. The sweat sticking to the back of his neck reminds him not to feel that guilt, because if he's suffering, he's not doing it alone. He digs in two knuckles against Michael's ribs, watching as he twists and jumps a little, suddenly awake. He figures it out quickly, sleepily pouting at Alex. What the hell? He complains, and buries his face in Alex's neck. You turned off the fan again with your powers, Alex says, pushing at him to get off. I'm melting here, Garen. Delicate flower, Michael mutters, and without moving an inch, the fan switches on again. Cool, refreshing air flows over Alex, and Michael ends up bundling up with a blanket again. He really is like a lizard, thinks Alex, with his need for sun and heat and warmth. Luckily, there's a solution for both of them. Alex keeps nudging at Michael until he's on the other side of Alex, with Alex's body blocking the fan. With just his boxer briefs on, the cool air from the fan hits his skin and instantly cools him down, which means that he can wrap his arms around Michael and be the big spoon. The difference now is that he's not overheating to do it. If we're going to be sleeping like this for the rest of our lives, we're figuring out how to do it so you don't freeze and I don't melt. He can feel the way Michael stills. Alex doesn't plan to walk back any of his words. He's run Michael around for too long, and now he only cares about being honest. There's only this for Alex. This is it. The real thing. The rest of our lives, huh? Says Michael softly, like he's just been told a secret of the universe. Alex wraps his arm a little tighter on Michael, grateful for the cool air of the fan to temper the heat coming from the alien in front of him. It's a balancing act, but what part of their lives won't be? We're not kids anymore. Alex makes his promise with a kiss to Michael's shoulder. You're my family now, and you're the only family I want for the rest of my life. He can see the delighted curve of Michael's lips, even if he's seconds away from falling asleep again. Don't turn off the fan again, he warns, or I'm knitting you an alien power-negating onesie. That smile of Michael's turns completely smug. I look great in pollen yellow. You keep telling yourself that, Alex says fondly. He wraps Michael up in the blanket, content to hold his whole world in his arms, right here, and every night he can get. So long as Michael lets Alex have his fan, of course.
This is a place where I don't feel. This is a place where I feel at home.
On the porch, there's a new wind chime that makes Alex glad he doesn't have neighbors too close. They would definitely notice the strange material that it's made out of, because Alex is pretty sure the last time he saw that glass had been on a spaceship console. The thing is, it can't be. The reason it can't be is that it means Michael's taking apart his ship and decided to turn it into an arts and crafts project in Alex's front yard. Which is crazy, right? Michael has spent his whole life trying to get home, whether physically or just some kind of message back. There's no way that he would dismantle the ship that he's been working so hard on, and he definitely wouldn't do it to make a pretty set of wind chimes. That said, Alex has spent a lot of time studying the way the light refracts and how it behaves when he touches it. There's no doubt in his mind that this is alien glass. It can't be anything else, which leaves him with a quandary. Why did Michael make it? And why is it here? Finally, Alex decides to ask. Did you find some extra piece of your ship? Michael glances up from the textbook he's reading, pushing the porch swing back and forth with the tip of his toe when it stops moving. What? Alex gestures up to the wind chime. That's definitely not from Home Depot. Michael squints at it, like Alex has been feeling, confused, a little lost, and more than a little suspicious. No, but if I were going to start selling to them, you know, Isabel would end up taking a cut, he jokes, shifting the pillow on the swing to make room for Alex. Don't tell me it goes against your aesthetic. I'd paint them black, but I thought your emo face died out years ago. First of all, emo never dies, Alex deadpans. And I think it's beautiful. I just don't understand. Michael closes his book, as if he senses that they're talking now. Understand what? You're gonna need every piece of your ship, aren't you? If you broke some pieces to make this, then what are you doing for the rest of the ship? Alex, Michael exhales, cupping his cheek. You know what I said in the bunker when I showed you the ship for the first time? How does anyone forget? That if anyone was going to destroy you, It might as well be me, Alex echoes, a little wary how this relates. Yeah, well, it turns out that if there's anyone that I'd be willing to destroy my dreams for, it's also you, Michael admits. My mom built a radio to talk to aliens. But the thing is, after all these years, I'm starting to get that maybe it's not about getting back home to a war-ravaged planet, where I definitely wouldn't be welcome. Alex's heart is pounding in his chest, amazed at how Michael can see something so important in such a casual way. So, what is it about? Michael's thumb sweeps across Alex's cheek, his eyes on Alex's lips. It's about taking the pieces of home I had and using them to build a new one, here, with the people I love the most. Never mind Alex's heart thumping painfully against his ribcage. He's pretty sure it just stopped. It's a good wind chime, ekes out Alex, which isn't nearly enough to match what Michael just said, but he feels like it has to be a start. Thanks. It had a good porch to go with it, says Michael, before he ducks in and steals a kiss. Alex settles into Michael's arms, closing his eyes and thinking about a home among the stars. He just always forgets that the Earth is a planet the same as the ones out there, and they're spinning along in space all the same.
Out in the garden where we planted the seeds, there is a tree as old as me.
In the garage, things have multiplied. Alex is standing in the middle of what can only be described as a complete and utter hurricane of chaos. If he didn't know any better, he'd think that his garage is in the process of auditioning to be an episode of Hoarders. He knows that he'd been bad about stashing boxes in here and not dealing with them when he moved in. But the stacks of boxes now create a labyrinthian atmosphere. All he needs now is a ball of string and a bull. What the hell is going on? He mutters, opening a few boxes to find car parts, truck parts, Airstream parts. He keeps going to find at least half the garage is full of them, and Alex knows that only a portion of these are for his Jeep. The hoarder in question soon arrives carrying another box. Michael, no, Alex protests. Why are there so many boxes? The garage wasn't being used. Alex squints at him, curious if Michael is going to try evading the question again. True, he allows, even if it pains him to have to give any ground, stubborn as he is. Why? He reiterates, since that's the point. He's pretty sure that most of these parts are brand new, and there are dozens of them in some cases. Michael doesn't look like he gets the question, even with Alex's pointed clarification. Sanders doesn't have the room at the junkyard anymore, and I figured I might as well offer him some space. Offer him my space, you mean? Something's gone wrong. Alex knows it instantly from the strange face Michael is making. The thing is, Alex has no idea why Michael suddenly looks like he's decided to bite into a lemon. Didn't know we were getting possessive about things like that, he mutters. Fine, the garage is yours. Can I please use your garage to store some parts, because Sanders is out of room and I want to inherit the place one day, and I don't want to piss the old man off? So is your garage the right place to keep them? Alex is regretting being so controlling, because he's pretty sure Michael sneering, "Your garage," will haunt his nightmares. Look, I don't care that you're storing them here. I care that it's a disaster. There's a place for everything as far as Alex is concerned. And that place is not piled three boxes high and leaning to the side like some mechanical tower of Pisa. I want you to be successful. I want you to feel like you can put things here. He knows he's a few seconds from panicking, but he needs Michael to understand he's not mad. Alex grabs a Sharpie from a tin of markers nearby and a few stickers from an old container. Let's work out a system, okay? I want you to feel comfortable when you're here, and that extends to these parts. Michael reaches over to take the marker, but that wary look on his face is still there. Alex has no idea what he'd said, but clearly it's still taking its toll. If he's not sleeping on the opposite side of the bed tonight, and with the fan turned off, he's guessing, he'll eat his prosthetic. Finally, though, Michael nods. You're okay with them being here, even though they're mine? It's not like I was using the garage. Honestly, most days Alex can't be bothered to park his Jeep anywhere but outside. You can have it all. I just want to be able to navigate through it without worrying I'm going to run into a minotaur, he jokes. He doesn't point out his real concern. Admitting that he's worried he'll lose his balance and fall with a crutch is a vulnerability that he's not ready to say out loud. Not because of Michael, but because of what it says about him. He still wants to imagine that he's capable, even if he's missing a limb. But a situation like this and an injury as a result could challenge that. So no, he's not ready to do anything but joke about it. You cool if I call Max and Liz over? We can order a pizza, make a night of it, Michael says, even though Alex sees him staring just a little too long, like he already knows Alex is only joking to cover his insecurities. Are you kidding? Do it, Alex encourages. Liz will probably rope in Maria and Rosa, which means Isabel will show up and Kyle will sense that he's being left out and turn up too. Between the number of hands and Liz's terrifying organizational systems, we'll be done within hours. It's a plan, Michael says. The tension is gone. In its place is a plan to move forward, and a way to make it work for both of them. Not bad for an argument that might have broken them up only a few short years ago. In the kitchen, Alex is about to put his whole heart on the line. I want you to have this. This is a huge moment for Alex, even though it's not technically the first time he's invited Michael to live with him. He's done it before, by casually dropping the information about the shed to him. This time feels more important, and his body knows it. He's pretty sure his heart is trying to escape his chest, the way it's beating. In his fingers, the key feels heavier than gold, because it's worth so much. Michael, however, doesn't seem as awed by the moment. Okay, he says, and takes it. What's it for? What? The key. Is it for the shed or the cabin or something? Your secret porn drawer, he cracks. Alex blinks at him, not sure what's going on. What? No, it's for the house. It's a key for my house, Michael. I'm asking you to move in with me. This romantic moment is going off the rails. Alex really hadn't counted on Michael making that face at him, but he is. It's the one where he purses his lips and squints one eye shut, like he's about to make a really inappropriate joke that's going to kill the mood. What he does say isn't a dirty joke, but it's not much better. A little late for that. What? No, it's not, Michael. I'm being romantic here. I want you to live with me. I thought that you wanted that too, Alex insists, trying to stop the aching feeling in his chest from expanding, or worse, his face showing just how hurt he is. He knows they're trying to be more open with each other, but the pain of this rejection is something he'd rather bury now and feel later. Michael palms the key in one hand, reaching out with the other to cup Alex's face, thumb dragging over the shell of his ear. I want that too, he promises. Which is why I moved in with you 2 months ago. It's Alex's turn to be lost. He scoffs, shaking his head. No, you didn't. Definitely did, Mike confirms. My Airstream is parked outside the house. Yeah, because you got a flat tire, and you didn't want to replace it. And my acetone is in every room? I already had it here in case you needed it. Right, Michael says. And the fact I haven't slept anywhere else for a month? My clothes are combined with yours, I've been wearing your shirts more often than mine these days. The fact that I changed my address on all the official paperwork, I'll let the government keep on me. This is all making a lot of sense, and absolutely none at the same time. But you don't even have a key, Alex protests, gesturing wildly to the key in Michael's hand. He's feeling really annoyed about his big gesture falling by the wayside. Michael smirks at him and taps two fingers to his temple. I got all the keys I need up here. Didn't you figure that out from all the concerned breaking and entering? So, wait. We've been living together? Michael makes a face like it should be obvious. And maybe it should be, but Alex has somehow missed all the clues. He thinks back to the last few months, and it all comes slamming into him, like a right hook to the face. The acetone in the kitchen, all of Michael's products in the bathroom, alien technology slotted right beside human art, the parts for Michael's business looming in the garage, and the steady warmth of Michael's presence in his bed at night. Every night. In Alex's defense, he's never moved in with a boyfriend before. How is he supposed to have known that it would be like this? Don't tell me I gotta move out because I kind of put all my eggs in this basket, Michael jokes. There's a real edge of worry in his voice that Alex needs to put to rest. I'm the dumbass this time, he insists, cupping Michael's face. Clearly I want you here. I had keys made and everything. I was freaking out thinking that you might not want to move in. And you're freaking out because I didn't even realize you already had. He scoffs and closes his eyes, dipping forward until his forehead meets Michael's, like true north finding home. Or something, aren't we? So long as it's you and me together, I don't care what kind of we that we are, Michael promises, cupping Alex's face. So, I'm good? I don't have to move out? Never, Alex promises fiercely, breathing in and knowing that he's safe and secure and sound with the love of his life. I'm never letting you leave. Good, because Sandra's got a whole new shipment of parts, and I'm thinking the basement at your cabin is... Alex stops him right there with a kiss. They can bicker about organization and joint space sharing later. He just found out that he's been living with his boyfriend for a few months, and he needs to celebrate that right now. Bedroom, Michael murmurs, when Alex finally lets him go. Don't turn the fan off when we're done, Alex negotiates, already on his feet. Baby, if you're thinking about the fan when we're doing this, then something's gone wrong. Michael tangles his fingers with Alex's, pulling him in close so he can haul him over his shoulder. Don't worry, he says, with a light smack of Alex's ass. When we're done, the fan's gonna be the last of your concerns. It will be, and not just because Michael is that good, but because sometime in the last few days, Michael's put in a brand new cooling station on Alex's side of the bed, complete with humidifier and control. That's what he gets for living with a genius, though. If Alex is lucky, and he knows he will be, because luck's got nothing to do with it, then he's going to be living with that genius for a very long time. Forever, in fact. The end.